reading from John 1, 1 to verse 18. The Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And the Word... Start again. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light, and he came only as a witness to the light, the true light that gives light to everyone, was coming to the world. He was in the world, and through the world was made through him. The world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all children of God, children born not of natural descent nor human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory and the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' Out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who himself is God, and the closest relationship with the Father made known to him. But this mark, there will be terrible times in these last days." Oh, sorry, that's the next. Sorry. The reading, sorry. That's all right. Yes, I'll just switch to that one, so.
Right, yes, it did. So praise the Lord for that. I'm going to go back 60 years now. I'm always going back and asking. I think people actually heard I was preaching this morning because we're nearly empty, so they drove them all away. Never mind. 60 years ago, when I was 12, I belonged to a very high Anglican church. It was high. It was all bells and whistles and robes and you name it, they had it. And they even had Latin. And I was a 12-year-old choir boy, and I was going to be confirmed on my 13th birthday. And so we had a course called the Catechism, which we had to learn every single word of. Now, those that have been in Anglican churches will know what the Catechism is. We also had to learn a lot from the Common Prayer Book. And also, I was given a Gideon Bible at school. Now, in those days, we didn't have modern translations. We had the King James. Now, I read this Gideon Bible in and out, kept reading it, and do you think I could make head or tail of it? at all. And especially this part of the reading, 1 John, I could not make any sense of it at all. I was really confused. Who was the Word? There's two Johns. That really did make me confused. There was John the Apostle and John the Baptist. I was really confused. And who actually wrote that gospel? Then I was getting even more confused. How could John the Baptist write a gospel when he'd had his head chopped off? And as a youngster, I was getting in a mess. I never did find out. It was years later what this actually meant. You're the Word. The Word of God. The Word to me was a printed thing. The Word. When I became a Christian, and I was 31, I was actually blessed with the Holy Spirit coming upon me. Now, when I was 13, we'll go back to the confirmation. One thing in a confirmation, apart from the bishop actually praying over you, he actually prays and lays hands on you and says, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, I didn't understand what that meant at that time. But when I actually asked Jesus into my life, I suddenly did know what, because the scriptures started to come alive. And I realized what the Word was. And the Word was Jesus. And the Word was that Jesus was there right from the very beginning. And that first passage of John, which we just read, takes us right the way through Jesus' life. Says in the beginning of the Word, first of all, well, Jesus' life on earth, sorry. Jesus was there in the very beginning. Now, this was something else that actually confused me, because in the beginning, there was the first part of the Bible was Adam and Eve. Now, that threw me completely, because in our church, Adam and we all came from Adam and Eve. But I read in Genesis that Adam and Eve had children. And then two of the children got into an argument and Cain killed Abel. And they were still in the garden. And God threw Cain out of the garden. Now, this is where it really threw me, because Cain had children with a woman. And where did this woman come from? I was told there was no such thing as anything else apart from the garden. But where did this woman come from? So perhaps the teaching was a little bit wrong in that time. Because there was a life outside the garden. God had got his special garden with two special people. But outside was normal people. And that's where Cain was banished to. So things started making light to me when I became a Christian. I started being able to understand it. Now, if you understand every single bit of this morning, please forgive me. It's not everybody, and I didn't. It took me a while to really understand what John was talking about, the Apostle John, at the beginning. It says, through Jesus, I've got it by then, all things were made. So Jesus was there at the very beginning. Now, something else when I was 12, there was no such thing as a Big Bang. It hadn't been discovered. So where did everything come from? God, I believed that God actually made everything, but I couldn't quite understand how it all started. And actually, science has actually proved the Bible to me. Very much so. Then we move on. The light shines in the darkness. I didn't understand what this light was. We had lots of lights in the church and lots of sacraments and incense and things being thrown around and everything else. I couldn't understand what this light was. The light was Jesus. He was lighting the world. He was going to be the light of the world. Again, when I became a Christian, this is marvelous. Jesus came alive to me, and the light of the world was in front of me. The true light gave light to everyone in the world, was coming into the world. It says Jesus was in the world, and through the world was made through him. It says Jesus was there, his handiwork is us, the world, as we are today. Then came the next bit, which I again didn't understand, because I didn't recognize that it was Jesus. But his own did not receive him. Jesus was in our creation, but the creation didn't believe or receive him. God the Father, in his wisdom, sent Jesus to earth to become a man. And this is the next bit of this passage. Again, I had no idea what I was talking about. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. The Word became flesh. The teaching I had, I read the Bible, and the teaching of the sermons went on for 3/4 of an hour, and I'll be honest with you, I didn't understand the word that was saying. It was way over my head as a youngster. But when I became a Christian, all of a sudden, the Word became flesh. Jesus had come amongst us. We have seen his glory. We saw the glory of the crucifixion and the resurrection. Then came another confusion. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.'" Again, I got terribly confused with these Johns. What John was actually saying this? Was this the John actually wrote the gospel, or John the Baptist? Now, this is the wonder of the Holy Spirit, because it opens the spirit of the scriptures open to us, and I suddenly realized that was about John the Baptist talking. And John, the apostle, was writing about John the Baptist. Doesn't it get confusing? And then it carries on. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Now, I'd heard of Jesus Christ in this church. I had a great big cross with a person on it, which was Jesus, and we had to go and kiss this regularly. You know, they used to bring the cross down, and it was all the rigmarole of the sacraments. But who Jesus was never came home to me. All through my time in this church, which was many years, I stayed there until I was gone 16, and all the years I did not understand. And I'll give you an instance about this understanding. Because while I was there, while I was there, there was a young curate who came along. And he was very good, apart from telling people who Jesus was. We had youth clubs and things like that. So he was very good. His name, I don't know if you ever heard of him, but he's quite famous. His name is John Shuliker. Many years later, Rose and I were on honeymoon, and we met his wife. And she was full of how John had asked Jesus into his life, years after I met him. And while he was in this church ministering to people, he didn't know Jesus as his personal saviour. This was a minister. This is where things go. So we know that in churches, even ministers don't know the glory of Jesus in their lives. And John Shuliker actually admitted, well, I mean, we met him afterwards several times. Actually, Rose went to his church because she was a member of a sacred dance group. And she went to his church, and actually she met him for the first time then, didn't you? And it was lovely knowing that family and the wonder that I'd known him before and afterwards. And the glory of God had come into his life. So he'd learnt too, the same as I had, about Jesus, the real Jesus. Now, the last part of this passage actually says, no one has ever seen God but the one and only Son. But then it says, and this is something else I understand, who himself is God and in closest relationship with the Father has made him known. If we've met Jesus, we've met God. When Jesus died, when the temple veil was torn asunder, Mike Baker does a wonderful thing here because he calls him Daddy. Abba Father. All of a sudden, we could have a personal relationship with God the Father. And again, something I learned when I became a Christian, I could have a personal relationship with God the Father through Jesus the Son. You have to forgive me because of... So I learnt what the Word of God was. But then, the last bit, the next bit, is actually confusing to me. The purpose of this sermon is a bit, not just the beginning, where we're looking at the Word was there, but at the end of time. Now, that doesn't mean the end of everything. It means the end of time of this earth. And while I was studying this, I thought, well, we could look in the beginning. I should be looking at the end. And I've remembered a very special passage to me, which was in 2 Timothy 3, about scriptures. But at the very beginning of chapter 3, Paul actually tells us about the end of time. A little bit of a bug. Forgive me for that. So I'll read it to you. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people. Sorry. Do we recognise that? Isn't that today? All of it, isn't it? Isn't it today? Well, how people are. Look how children are. Look what they're doing. Even children are going around killing each other. No self-control. Brutal. Lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy. We must be living in the last times. Are we ready for this last times? What help can we have? This is where one of my favourite bits of the Bible. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you have learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures. This is Paul talking to Timothy. Which you are able to make you wise for salvation through the faith of Christ Jesus. All Scripture, that means all of it, is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So if we want to be equipped to face this world and to face these last days, we've got prepared to use God's scriptures. Not just bits of them and bits we want and bits that look good, but all of it. We've got to be prepared to look at Revelations. Revelations actually shows us the terrible last days, which we're heading for, I'm sure. Whether it be in my lifetime or not, I don't know. But what I see, it's getting close. Am I ready when Jesus walks through the door of this church and says, come with me? And away we go. And who's going to be left behind? I do not want to be left behind. I know now Jesus was there at the beginning, and Jesus is going to be there at the end. He's going to come in glory, pick those who believe and trust in him up, and away we go into that wonderful kingdom which Revelation has shown us, the new Jerusalem. Some versions of the Bible says, I make a room for you. Some says, it makes a house. But I know Jesus has somewhere for me. And I'm going to ask every person here, has he got a place for you? Yes. Are you ready? So we just thank God for his word. I thank God that the Holy Spirit came into my life a long time after I had hands laid upon me. But now I can look back on, Jesus said to the disciples, receive the Holy Spirit, didn't he? But what happened at that time, as far as the disciples were concerned, not a lot. They could still see Jesus. But they hadn't actually experienced the Holy Spirit coming into their lives. That happened when in Acts, didn't it? At Pentecost. My Pentecost happened after I became a Christian. And it was something very special. And what I'm going to ask you, if you haven't received your Pentecost, ask for it. You have the Holy Spirit within you. All you've got to ask God the Father, through Jesus the Son, to let you experience the Holy Spirit in your life. And it's something really special, honestly. Because when you read the Bible, you can understand it. A thing I do now. There's still parts of it I have difficulty with, but as I study, it comes alive. And perhaps I hear somebody else's word, it comes alive. So I'm going to thank God. Let's pray. First of all, I'm going to pray that several of us have got a nasty bug in our throats and our coughs and everything else. And as we stand and sit here,